Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions. Whether you need a new warehouse line, hedging, or are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lincoln on Lending, David Lincoln.
Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for dialing in, tuning in, calling in, however, whatever mechanism you're using to hear this program. We welcome all of you out there across mortgage land and listening. And also, you consumers that are listening in, we thank you so much. We always welcome you in, and we welcome your questions as well. This is a program that's primarily designed to bring information pertinent that's up to the minute to the mortgage industry and those involved in the industry that and so they can make effective decisions as they go to seek to run their business. Today, joining me again on, oh, by the way, I want to say a special thank you to Blog Talk Radio. It is always so much appreciated that they've created this tool mechanism where we can provide this at a low-cost basis for the industry. So special word goes out to our friends at Blog Talk Radio. Thank you so much for creating this wonderful tool for all of us to use. We have back on the call or on our radio program, Alice Alvey. And Alice, thank you so much for being the host in my absence last week. And we also have on the phone Scott Sanderson and Joe Farr with MBS Quoteline. Folks, good to have you on.
Great to be good here, to Dave.
It's good to have you here. Joe and Scott, as we always start off, let's talk about rates. It seems to be one of the most paramount things. The first question everyone asks when you're at a social party, what's your mortgage rate? Or if you're at an industry function, which way are rates going? So, Joe and Scott, take it away. What's going on in the world of interest rates?
Dave, I wish I knew which way they were going to go in the future, but we have seen very nice movement in rates here in the past. We've had a real nice drop in rates over the last few weeks. I was just looking. We're about 50 basis points lower in rate than we were just a short 3 weeks ago. Today, just to get everyone up to speed, MBS prices, which, as we've discussed in the past, are what drive mortgage rates, they're about flat to where they ended Friday. But last week, we saw a real nice run-up in MBS prices, and as prices go up, mortgage rates come down. We saw about a 15-20 basis point drop in rates just last week. And we can attribute that to what were very favorable Treasury auctions. You know, we've talked in the past about how concerning all this big amount of debt that's going to be issued by the government to pay for all the stimulus programs will be on the market. Will the market assume it? Will the investors be there to buy it? And so far, the answer is yes. Yes to all. Yes at very reasonable rates and yes in large quantities. We saw last week, you know, you measure the quality of a Treasury auction on a couple factors. One is how completely were they subscribed, meaning how many bids were there to the dollars that were being auctioned off, and we're seeing very strong bids to at 2.5 times what's actually being auctioned off.
That's very encouraging.
Strong, and even more encouraging is that the participation in those auctions by foreign investors is very strong. Close to 50% of what was auctioned went to foreign investors. So the fear that we've heard about as far as will China keep buying our treasuries, as of now, the answer is yes.
That is very encouraging. Do you foresee the demand for securitizations remaining strong at this point, Joe and Scott?
The demand to buy securitized?
Yes.
Assets,
yes.
And long-lived assets, it seems to be. It seems that those who are interested in investments of one sort or another have shown a favoritism toward the security, the relative security of government-backed treasuries and mortgage-backed securities. And maybe that's a little sign that they're still not completely comfortable with where the stock market is or where it's headed. So far, so good as far as that goes.
And I think the big question in my mind, what's driving it, is the flight to quality. As we see the deterioration of certain parts of other investment options, if there's not more of a flight to quality and treasuries and certainly mortgage-backed securities now, for the most part, being issued by Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, Jannie Mae, are very much some of the most secure investments. And if you look at the fact that many investors who are knowledgeable about the industry, they're now saying that the product that's being originated in this business cycle is some of the most conservative product from a risk standpoint, from a credit risk standpoint. And also, there are probably some ongoing risk as it relates to collateral if we truly see values continue to fall. But we've had evidence that many parts of the country, there's a forming of a stability in the prices. Now, we have a few states that's somewhat in question. But as we see that, I think more and more people are going to come in. Is it a flight to quality? What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, David, first of all, when you buy a mortgage-backed security, the only really risk you're taking is when will I get paid back? You know you're going to get paid back your principal because it's government guaranteed. Let's assume that's a good risk, but you know you're going to get paid back. It's just a matter of when. And so that and the impact of what will inflation do to the money that you get when you do get paid back, those are really the concerns that investors are weighing right now. So they know they're going to get paid back, might not know quite when, but they also are relatively comfortable that the inflation's impact on their return is not such a negative that they're refusing to buy.
That's encouraging.
It's been good, and it's helped drive mortgage rates lower in spite of the fact that, you know, we've talked in the past about the government buying mortgage-backed securities to hold as an investment, you know, basically buying the Fannie and Freddie securities and Jenny Mae securities that are issued. Last week we saw a nice little drop in rates, even though that was the lowest amount of purchases by the government in many weeks. They only bought $17 billion last week.
We have a caller that is, or someone that's listening, one of our listeners on the line that just shot a quick message over to me, and they're saying, ask Joe if in fact cram downs are coming, because there's been a lot of discussion. And while this may sound like it's a part of the legislative update, our next segment, it does come in and focus in on the topic of the future appetite for securitizations. The concern this listener has right now, and this listener just sent another note, I am not in the mortgage industry. I'm an investor. I look to buy these securities. I have bought them in the past. I'm looking to do it again. Do you feel that this – how will cram downs potentially affect the appetite for securitization as we move forward, if, in fact, we see that happening?
Well, most mortgage-backed securities issued today have the full faith and credit of the government, or at least the Fannie Freddie faith and credit of the government behind it. So a cram down is not going to result in a loss to a purchaser of one of their mortgage-backed securities. Certainly a privately issued mortgage-backed security, it could impact things. But what it will do is cause the rate or the guarantee fee that those who insure those mortgage-backed securities will charge to go up. And that's going to result in higher rates to the consumer because ultimately they're going to pay the price of having that added risk, the risk not to the investor, but the risk to the agency or the insurer of the mortgage-backed security.
It's good. And by the way, for you listeners out there, if you want to text me or email me your information, your questions, or we're online here. By the way, we've also extended the format of this program out longer than the normal half hour. And so we've reserved a full hour with Blog Talk, so we're going to be able to address and take on more of your questions. So we're thrilled to have you. Send your questions in. You can text them in, and we look forward to hearing from you. Let us move on and for the next segment. But just before, let's hear a word from one of our sponsors.
Looking for that competitive edge? MBS Quoteland delivers live market coverage for originators. Get up-to-the-minute mortgage market news and analysis as events occur.
Get MBS prices as trades happen.
Straight to your computer, email, cell phone, or PDA. Know in advance when your investors will reprice. Make better lock-float decisions and increase your income. Be the expert your clients expect and know what's moving interest rates right now, tomorrow, and beyond. MBS Quoteline, delivering live market coverage for originators. Learn more about MBS Quoteline today at MBSQuoteLine.com.
MBSQuoteLine.com.
646-716-4972. The Lincoln on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lincoln.
Well, it's good to have you all back again. Remember, text me with those questions, email them in me, email them into us, and we'll get to them. Thank you so much, Joe and Scott. There was a lot of feedback that came in about that, and some of the interest that was really... I've never seen this level of interest in securitization, so we may have to make that a special part of the program as we move forward in future segments. But staying with our format here, we have a legislative update, and without question, Alice and her team of professionals there at mortgage-u.com are just on top of these things. I just remain so impressed with Alice, how you stay on top of all this, and there's so much going on. Good to have you on the program, Alice. And again, thank you so much for handling the program last week.
Oh, thank you. You're welcome, Dave, but we missed you. Hey, well, trying to keep up to date is a bit of a challenge, and, you know, just to your listener there who was asking about the cram downs, we'll watch that for you, so keep listening to the program. We'll let you know if anything surfaces again on that, but right now that seems to be an issue way on the back burners. So today we're going to talk about the House Bill 3126 that's going to establish, or is proposing, I should say, to establish the Consumer Financial Protection Agency. So another new acronym, Dave, CFPA,
yep.
that was introduced last week. And, of course, we've been talking about what is the CFPA going to do. President Obama had and the administration had announced this a couple weeks ago, but now we have the facts as far as at least what the initial proposal is going to be. And, you know, we were talking before the call on how widespread this looks like it's going to reach across so many industries.
There is a lot there, and we're going to cover that in our next segment. It's going to be the primary focus of what we're talking about. Give us an update on the Mortgage Disclosure Improvement Act. There's been some things happening there. Is it, again, are we really getting to improvement here, Alice?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, you're right. So for our pain points is what we're starting to call them within the Mortgage Disclosure Improvement Act. You know, it hurts in a couple of places, and we're trying to make sure this doesn't hurt consumers, but as we try and roll this out. But so the definition of creditor within the Truth in Lending Act is really what's starting to impact us as we implement this. So we have our initial disclosures that have to go out to consumers, and creditor meaning the lender, so all the wholesalers, are trying to figure out then if I have to get out a Truth in Lending disclosure now, can I say that contractually that responsibility belongs to a broker? And in past Truth in Lending, we've been able to say yes, I could contractually say the broker has to get out the initial till. And but some state laws conflict with that. So we're trying to get to the bottom of how that initial Truth in Lending is going to work. So if you're a consumer, you have to picture that. My loan officer can order the credit report, but then they have to give me a Truth in Lending disclosure before they can then take my money to be able to order the appraisal, because we don't necessarily front that money, although some lenders are considering that. Should I just front the appraisal money? And then that works, that kind of gets stuck with trying to implement the Home Valuation Code of Conduct, and brokers can't order the appraisal. The wholesaler has to do that. So there's that waiting period that's a challenge.
Yeah, the two topics are really pretty closely linked, aren't they, Alice?
Yeah, the Home Valuation Code of Conduct has put the brokers can't order appraisals anymore. They have to go into the wholesaler's website to do that now, or the appraisal management company to do that. So if I'm a wholesaler and I let the broker use my AMC, do I have to confirm that they didn't take any money that they shouldn't have from a customer? So all those procedures are trying to get worked out right now.
Well, we have an increasing number of staffers within the Beltway that are trying to be responsible and create great programs and help stimulate or solve the issues that were attributed to the last mortgage crisis and the meltdown. And they're listening and trying to get specific specific ways in which they can improve. For example, we had the Hope for Homeowners, which was, if you look at the overall intent, what they had hoped to have happen, what they had hoped to happen did not happen in Hope for Homeowners. And we've had a little bit of that, a lot of that, quite frankly, with the HVCC. So for you regulators that are listening on here, I want to encourage you to contact us, email us. We're resources for you. Alice is in front of people every week flying around the country doing training sessions. We, as well at Mortgage Banking Solutions, are flying around the country talking to companies on the phone with them constantly. We highly recommend you get a hold of us. And I see a couple of texts coming in right now, and they're wanting to have your contact information. Alice, would you give your phone number if you would? It's always fun. It's fun to see live, real feedback as we're sitting here visiting on this.
Well, certainly. Well, it's mortgage-u.com, and you can get all our contact information from the website. Our phone number is 800-278-0200. And, you know, to your point, Dave, and it really seems like they're, you know, in all these legislation pieces of legislation, it's supposed to be, you know, helping the customer. But in the end, I understand the timing with MDIA. I understand that we want to make sure customers have disclosures ahead of time. But I think what's going to happen is you'll find a lot of lenders that are going to have to err on over-disclosing your truth in lending disclosures. So the form that you get that you have no idea what it means anyway, you know,
yes, right.
And you got the APR up there, you're going, okay, am I supposed to be shopping with that APR? But now everybody's going to have to over-disclose it to make sure they don't drag out your closing and make it take too long because of all the waiting periods we now have.
Well, I think we're also running into there's two sides of this equation, those trying to create the regulation that's going to begin to bring this industry back into quote-unquote control. And, again, that's a little bit misguided. I think if there would be a better coordination on the regulator side, working with those of us in the industry that are trying to effect change and recognizing that there were issues in this last cycle that need to be addressed.
Yeah.
And HVCC is exactly one of those misguided, well-intended but misguided attempts to do that. So I encourage anyone that's on the regulatory side that's listening in, and there are several of you, it sounds like a fair number of you, we welcome you and we welcome your feedback, and we certainly welcome the opportunity to work more closely with you. There is just so much to talk about on this and this, but I'm telling you, as you're a lender trying to sort this out, you got to stay tuned to programs like this. What our goal is in this program is to digest some of this information and bring it out for you. Scott and Joe, before we leave this segment, I thought I'd get some feedback from you if there's anything you want to add to Alice's comments on all of this.
Yeah, you know, that whole disclosure issue, you know, I remember years ago when we had our wholesalers disclosing for us, what a mess that caused in the first place. You know, you have the client relationship, and then you have another third party being introduced, and the question comes up, well, A, who are they? B, they may have a default set of disclosures that they send out that may or may not relate to specifically the transaction that you agreed to with your borrower, whether it's waiving a fee or adding a fee or what have you. And it just caused a heck of a mess. And then the communication back and forth, and has it been 3 days, and can we order the appraisal, or, you know, may I go get their money now? You know, it certainly is fraught with operational questions and, you know, potential for problems there. So,
yeah,
well, I think go ahead.
Be good. It'll be good. You know, it'll be interesting to see how all of that unfolds. You know, it's like so many other things. You know, it's well-intended. The devil's in the details.
That's so true. Alice, you had a comment?
Well, I was just going to say that it's the closing coordination as well that we want, you know, people to just be aware of are going to be dramatic changes as of July 30th, which is the applications as of July 30th is when this applies, and trying to make sure that you watch, I've got 7 days before I close the loan, and then if I've had to redisclose, that starts a new 3-day clock. And so if you're already scheduled to close and the wholesaler recognizes there should be a redisclosure to the customer, does that now mean that as a broker I have to look at my choices, waive a fee so that there is no redisclosure if it's a fee issue that's causing the Truth in Lending to be out of compliance, waive a fee or postpone the closing? I think that's going to be a tough choice for companies to make.
And I tell you, there's a whole lot of discussion we're going to try to get into a little bit later is about the whole wholesale segment. I mean, is this something that is going to just further discourage wholesalers to stay in that channel, specifically the wholesale channel dealing with brokers, or is this going to drive more amount? We've watched such a mass exodus as evidenced in the implodometer on so many of these folks have exited for a host of reasons. Many of them just went out of business because of the repurchase issues, and there was then a number of them that found themselves wanting still to hang in the game, but every time we see another one of these regulations and the confusion that goes with it, we're seeing a host of emails coming forth from many of the wholesalers right now trying to address these issues. I think everyone just needs to stay focused on this, and I'll just tell you this, the best place, the best resource in the country is right there at mortgage-u. Let's hear a quick ad from them about them.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals
providing classroom and web-based delivery
and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees both live and online on everything from application through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lickin' on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's David Lickin.
Thank you so much, everybody, for hanging in there with us. We see a number of callers. By the way, I want to welcome a lot of folks from the Atlanta area. We see last week and again this week, many, many folks dialed in. We've got a client there by the name of Terrace Mortgage, and they're a wonderful group, Steve Quarles and the many fine folks there at Terrace Mortgage. Thank you so much for putting out the word about our radio program, and thank you for inviting your customers to tune in. Also, other wholesalers or brokers out there, get your wholesalers to dial in and listen to this so you're all kind of hearing what is going on and what issues you need to be paying attention to. Another one of the issues we just started talking about in the previous segment was the whole issue regarding what is going on and trying to bring some level of consumer financial protection and putting it in place. So what do we do when we have an issue? We create a new agency, Alice. Isn't that just the most amazing thing? H.R. 3126. Let's get into that. You introduced it in the previous segment. Let's get into this a little bit more. There's a lot here.
Well, it's before the call, you know, we talked about maybe we just have to read this one section so that people know how far-reaching this Consumer Financial Protection Agency is. So within the law, they define, you know, the definitions are always the detail you got to dive into. Who does this apply to? So it says covered person. The term covered person means any person who engages directly or indirectly in financial activity in connection with the provision of a consumer financial product or service. This extends into a service if they provide a material service to or process a transaction on behalf of a person described in what I just said. So then you got to flip over to the definition for financial activity, and that's the one that gets long, where it really extends to including financial advisors, investment advisors, real estate settlement service providers, including title insurers, leasing personal or real property or acting as an agent, a broker, or advisor in leasing property. If you're a financial data processing company, you could be looped in this. If you're acting as a money service business, like custodians, and then the sentence that's really far-reaching is, and any other activity the agency feels, and I'm going to paraphrase here, entitled to regulate, They do exclude insurance, though. I wonder how they got that exclusion.
I was going to say, the insurance lobby was at work there on that exclusion. I tell you, what's so interesting, and we should have anticipated this coming, but there, when you heard so much in the news that the mortgage industry largely, quote-unquote, largely unregulated, that must have been sick 'em to a bulldog in the ears of the regulators out there, because now we have a new agency we're going to have to be dealing with. One listener just texted me with this thing. What the heck is this? When did this come in? It was introduced, Alice, if I'm correct, on July 9th, and it's 229 pages, and that's just the start of something.
Yeah, you're right. It's just the start. So that's the other thing, you know, for people to have a heads up. This is a House bill that's been introduced, and so now we all have to, you know, get on, however you want to look at it, get on your waders or get on your boxing gloves as you kind of work your way through it and battle out the details.
Boy, there is so, so much here. And Joe and Scott, I also welcome you to jump in on this, but it's too early to really register where this is all going to head, but we have in being proposed here with H.R. 3126, put a note around that, a whole new agency that never existed before. And so the growth of federal government, the growth of them getting more involved in our industry is upon us. And I think this is I'm thinking out loud here a little bit, Alice, but it feels like there's so much momentum to this. Is there really anything we can really do to stop it?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good, really good point, because this is all, it's written as if it's a consumer advisory piece. And, you know, the minute you say a piece of legislation is all about the consumer, it's a lot of education for our congressmen to help them understand all the details. So the idea of this legislation is to establish a consumer advisory board. It also establishes a victims relief fund. They have authority to set fines and penalties. Now, our existing regulators in some aspect will stay the same, but this essentially will merge the OCC and the OTF. And then, so this Consumer Financial Protection Agency will have a fair amount of authority, actually a lot of authority, and it doesn't supersede the states. So I think one of the pieces we're watching is, one of the pieces is that it would loop in the banks to have to follow state law, whereas in the past, OCC would say, no, there's this federal preemption for you. So there's lengthy wording about all the additional issues at a state level. There's also that they would have the power to have to look at products. So any product that we would roll out would have to be approved by this entity ahead of time. And any actions have to be approved by them. So does that mean all the banks are going to have to stick with the same base of products and essentially eliminate options for consumers?
Wow. Man, I tell you. Go ahead, Joe. I mean, Scott.
Scott here, and I was just going to say, you know, what's as telling as anything is Alice's little email you sent us. By far the longest paragraph in there is all the industries and types of companies that would be covered by this.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's so inclusive, and the big question is what many of us in the industry have been hoping for is there would be one federal bill that would preempt or trump, so to speak, the numerous state legislative initiatives that are rolling through the various state houses right now. And if you start looking at some of those, it's significant on what they're trying to do to, again, wrestle into control of an industry they perceive has been out of control. And so we as an industry have got to stand up, speak out, both at the local level and at the federal level. I am, as much as we hate to see more regulation, the reality is the depth and breadth of the problems that existed in our last business cycle in our industry is really bring a lot of this on ourselves. So we need to, at this point, recognize that, and then It's kind of like the leadership in Iran. You know, you sit and look at that, and, you know, do we really want to throw this guy out, or do we want this one? The ESO saying the devil we know is better than the devil we don't know. I don't know that a new agency. I think we're going to have to deal with this. And I think my only hope is that this is going to actually come in and cause for a lot of the various
regulatory initiatives that are underway in the various states to subside some, if not go away, and let this become the dominant agency. Again, the scary part, Scott, is what you bring up, is just how far-reaching and undefined it is, and it has, you know, there's regulatory, we talk about missions creep, well, this has got regulatory creep written all over it. It's going to creep into every area of our industry.
Well, what's interesting there is that it may have been inspired by everything that happened in our industry, and, you know, in fact, the happenings may have been the impetus for it, but when you see in there investment advisors, financial advisors, debt collectors, those guys are in no way related to the mortgage industry. So, you know, it's certainly more broad-reaching than you know, attacking the mortgage industry.
I think there's a transfer piece in here that I wanted to make you guys aware of. It says that the state consumer law applicable to a transaction at the inception of the transaction may not be preempted under federal law solely because a national bank subsequently acquires the asset or instrument that is the subject of the transaction. So, you know, now you have to watch the trail of where something originated from in terms of the law that would be applicable.
That's as if it's just going to add more of a convoluting process to something that's already fairly confusing. I think what's also an interesting point is now that the banks will be somewhat, is it fair to say, Alice, on a level playing field with the rest of the mortgage industry? I mean, we watched so many larger mortgage banking companies say, I want to go buy a bank so I can get away from the state, you know, specific licensing, and I can have my loan officers not subject to the various laws of the state. It looks like they're trying to change that. Am I hearing you correctly on this?
A little bit, yeah. You know, and I'll have to be honest that we're still dissecting this whole thing, you know, to try and see what all the implications may be, and certainly all the lawyers have to chime in. But and if you're a broker or lender, you never see that you actually all get on the same playing field because of licensing and other issues. But certainly this is attempting to try and make sure that the banks aren't preempted out or have the ability to stay away from or exclude themselves from certain state laws, that they do have to follow state, and most notably fair lending laws.
Well, I'll tell you, it's really interesting. We'll be staying on top of this and tracking this very, very closely for all of you. We'll get into it again a little bit more after this word.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
Whether you need a new warehouse line, or making the transition from broker to banker, are interested in mergers and acquisitions,
or anything in between, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging, financial and accounting services, or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact a Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
Well, there you go. That's a little bit about what we do. We're excited to have you all on the program. Thank you so very much. We have a number of callers calling in or sending in messages about this. Alice, one of the questions that came in is how is this going to impact the truth in lending as well as RESPA? Could you go into a little more depth about that? There's some questions that are coming in. What is going to be the impact here to us?
For the Consumer Financial Protection Agency, is the question
yes,
related to
yes,
that?
That's, okay. Yeah, it's a question related to that, yes.
Well, within this, I think the only thing I'm noticing within this that it touches is it does say that the agency is to propose within a year of its, you know, implementation that it will combine the truth in lending and RESPA disclosures into one form. And I'm sorry, but that's been tried before, very unsuccessfully. We've tried to do that. And if you've ever tried to read your disclosure from a HELOC, the home equity, you know, home equity line of credit, where it's all combined into one, you quickly go, I'm not reading that. I'm confused within the first page, you know. So that's one thing. And then this agency is supposed to have some authority to create additional disclosures. So immediately within it is not a direct change to any Truth in Lending or RESPA. It's just that the agency then will be taking a look at the disclosures within those pieces in the future.
We've got a question, Alice, coming in regarding something that we were talking about earlier on the deadline, and I hate to do this for this. In fact, we'll just table that question regarding Mortgage Disclosure Improvement Act. We have a question coming in from a wholesaler about that. Is that they'd like to hear your comments on what you're seeing across the country, how people are implementing that. So let's just table that question for a minute. But, Alice, I want to know that we're going to come back to that, if you wouldn't mind.
No problem.
Is there anything – this is obviously new. It's just breaking news. There's a lot to be happening. Is there a website that you could point people to? I've had several requests for that today. Where can we stay in touch with it? Where can we learn more about this? How does Allison, one question, how does Allison stay in touch with all this?
Well, we stay updated by just reading the regulation, you know, and then talking with different state regulators and their impression of, you know, what did you mean, what is your interpretation, and talking with the people in the industry. So I always start right with the bill, which you can go to govtrack.us. Or you can go to the Federal Register. We always give you the House or Senate bill number. So simply by, you know, doing a search with that number and putting in the year, you know, so HR 3126 and putting in 2009, you'll be sure to get that is a hit then in your first whichever search engine you're using. So that's how you stay up to date. And you have to keep watching it. Like we've found out with a couple of these, MDIA, the Disclosure Act, started out with one interpretation, and it's starting to evolve because companies have to say what's the easiest way to implement this, and that
yes.
may not be the letter of the law. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's probably a good segue into that. If you could jump back to this, we have a wholesaler on the line that is asking the question, you know, are you seeing any patterns develop and how this is being implemented? I know that's kind of an unfair question because you're looking at it from the scope of what you have, the companies that you're working with. But do you have any comments to our listener there as to how most of the wholesalers you're seeing being implementing Mortgage Disclosure Improvement Act?
Well, I think, you know, every company is going to have to implement a procedure to watch what's the date that the appraisal was ordered. And, you know, so can you go by order date as being the day I would have collected the money or thereabouts, and then comparing that to the date of the Truth in Lending. And then making sure you're issuing initial disclosures as a wholesaler, if that's been your process already, I would say consult some legal counsel on that one for should you be reissuing initial TILs yourself. There are some interpretations that contractually you can put that responsibility on the broker, but again, that depends on state law. Some states prohibit that.
Yeah.
And so there's that initial piece, and then the other piece is just monitoring and recalculating Truth in Lendings before closing. Because my customer has to have the accurate till at least 3 days ahead of closing.
Well, there's a lot. We just stay tuned in the program. There's another bill that we want to talk about briefly as we kind of get close to the end of the program here, and it's HR 3146. It's another one, Alice, that's popping up. I'll tell you, I've never seen the legislative calendar so full of bills pending related to the mortgage industry. This is having to do to making 3146 has to do with making improvements to FHA. Alice, could you get into that a little bit?
Yeah, you know, we start reading it and you think it sounds fine. It's talking about consulting and making sure, talking about getting HUD some additional staff, allowing them to hire consultants, making sure they get the resources that they need, which we've all been screaming for. Give FHA some money, give them some resources to handle all the business that they've got. We love that part. And then you get to
especially the part about allowing them to work with consultants more. We have the consulting room. We welcome that.
Oh,
love
I know.
That one.
Well, then you have, but then it says give FHFA, the Federal Housing Finance Agency, and HUD authority to start providing warehouse lines of credit to qualified mortgage lenders, not depository institutions. So, Dave, that's right up your alley. You've been asking for that.
We've been asking for this, and I tell you this, of all the things that I've seen come out that have been worrying me about regulations coming forth, this one is probably the most encouraging. And I want to say this, that we have some people that we know inside the Beltway that are meeting with the Treasury, and as many of you know, I'm on Fox Business. I'm a regular contributor to them on issues related to the mortgage industry, housing, and the economy. And so as a result, I'm having the privilege of talking with folks like Peter Barnes and the folks there at Fox and many of the people that are studying these issues, trying to track it. And you know, it's very difficult. There's a lot out there. We've been consistently saying, also, folks like Glenn Corso and his team of consultants have been active inside the Beltway to try to get the attention of administration focused on the need for warehouse lines of credit. That, in fact, that is the lifeblood of an independent mortgage banker, which has represented such a significant segment of the market. So the fact that, Alice, they have put in some language that authorizes FHA, HUD specifically, which is, of course includes then Ginnie Mae, and no doubt will cast right on over into hopefully even the agencies, that there's signs and reasons for hope that there may be an end to the one crisis that's been going on, and that is liquidity for independent mortgage bankers. That is probably the most encouraging thing I have heard in months and months and months for many of our clients that are struggling for liquidity.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what the details are, because there are no details in this H.R. 3146. And, you know, so just introduced, hasn't gone anywhere yet. So we're going to have to watch it closely to see what becomes of it.
Well, and I would ask is why not Fannie and Freddie next? You know, if they're approving FHA or HUD to be a warehouse lender, hopefully they would allow Fannie and Freddie to move forward with their proposals and potentially become warehouse lenders themselves.
Well, as you sit and listen to some of the dialogue that's been going on, there's certainly Fannie and Freddie are at the table. We had a client, and there was a meeting where two mortgage lenders were invited back to talk to the folks at the Treasury. One of them was our client, and then a number of our clients in the warehouse banking world were there speaking to the warehouse issues. So two mortgage companies were there, big mortgage, good-sized mortgage bankers, and a number of the warehouse lenders, and they were trying to bring Treasury the information they needed so they could, you know, start making the proper recommendations. And one of the things that came out of that meeting that was so encouraging was this, that the mortgage warehouse lenders that are out there saying, we've got all the risk, and this is the sticky point for many of the Treasury folks, is that we've already got the risk, says the warehouse banker. We don't need to ask Fannie, Freddie, or Jenny to step in on that risk component. If they're just there providing liquidity, either in the form of taking us out or paying off our warehouse line within 24 to 48 hours of the time the loan is funded, basically providing a gestation facility. We can get into that in later programs. For the sake of time, we're not going to get into that, but a gestation facility or a secondary warehousing facility, if they could provide that, that would bring a huge amount of liquidity. To the extent that they can get into the front part of the process and literally provide fundings at the funding closing table for many of the mortgage bankers, that would be also tremendous. So, Alice, when did this one get introduced? I'm looking at your notes on this from before the program. Is this just coming, just been put out as of in the last week or so?
Yeah, that was just, I'm sorry, I didn't write the date in front of me. It's either the 10th, 9th or 10th. It was just, you know, just before today. Yep, that's hot off the press.
Wow. That is hot off the presses for you mortgage bankers, independent mortgage bankers out there. This is an encouraging sign that we are we're at least seeing this issue get addressed. And we'll have more to talk about this. I want to say thank you so much to Alice and all the work and her team that are researching and looking up and down the various websites of our industry and looking across the landscape, looking for the issues and bringing pertinent information to you, the listeners. I want to say thank you to Alice and her team. Thank you so much, Alice. You add so much to the program, and we appreciate it. Also, I want to say a thank you to Joe and Scott for their contributions. Scott, I always love to hear your perspective on things, especially as we look at it from a from the production perspective, how the impact is. Joe, your insights to the industry as far as what is going on is rates and securitizations, always appreciated. Well, that looks like about all the time we have for today. I want to say thank you to all you listeners, and have a great week.
This has been Lickin' on Lending. a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lincoln of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. On the web at www.mortgagebankingsolutions.com. Today's guests were Joe Farr and Scott Sanderson from MBS Quote Line, delivering live mortgage-backed security prices as trades happen, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U, your ultimate education and information resource. Come by next week, and thank you for listening.